Hello, welcome to Take Back the Universe Loves to Laugh. You are listening to Penguin Radio 102.3 FM or worldwide radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh. Hey, we got big things to talk about here on Take Back, and we have an agenda. As our planet faces global climate change, melting polar ice caps, and ocean acidification, we like to remain positive. There's hope. We're still alive. Here at Take Back, we plan to get deep into understanding these issues, what we can do about these big problems while we laugh at the absurdity of being human, too. Each Wednesday at noon here on Take Back, we have thinkers, poets, writers, musicians, environmentalists, and sometimes kids, too, to help us get it right and navigate this crazy journey called life. We won't be afraid to ask hard questions, and we'll have fun and laugh. So I'm here today with my 11-year-old son. I'm not sure if he's going to talk yet. Kai, can you say hello?
Hello, my name is Kai Emilio.
Wow, I just want to say that this kid already has a life ahead of him, as we all do, right? Because we are alive and we have big things to talk about. My son was actually in my very first film, Racing with Copepods, which was an ocean environmental film, which starred Dr. Sylvia Earle. It was my very, very first film, and it was one of those films that just kind of come out of your soul. Actually, your own personal pocketbook, too, I might add, but that's another case. But it was really a powerful project that I did about 4 years ago, and it was one of those projects where everyone says, yeah, right, you're going to go make a film. You've never done that before. And I said, I don't know, but I'm going to try, and I did it, and that film is still being screened today. And am I sitting here trying to plug myself? No, actually, I'm not. I'm trying to say, believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and believe in those around you when they have big dreams and they want to try something and do it. Support them. Just like we're going to do with Kai's generation. He's 11 years old. He just turned 11 last month. And he's never been on the radio. And he's never been in the studio with me. And here he is. And I just want to also plug him for this act. We were having some technical problems, and this kid figured it out. Yep. Those are kids today. They're smart. Listen to them. So it's Wednesday, mid-December. We are in the height of holiday season. Can you believe it? What do you think about the holiday season, Kai?
It's very amazing, and I love it because gifts.
Oh, you like those gifts. He's rubbing his hands together. Yeah, we do like those gifts, don't we? But I just wonder, Kai, what do you think kids think about with all of the plastic that's coming out in the world right now? What do you think about that?
Well, I think people should stop using plastic because it's killing, like, innocent animals. It's like birds are getting stuck in plastic and sharks are eating it and stuff. I just don't think it's healthy.
What do you think we can do about that?
I don't know. If everybody helps out, we could probably make the world a better place and animals could stop dying for no reason.
Yeah, it's pretty sad when you see these images of, you know, those plastic six-looped plastic soda can. What are they called?
Like soda can holders.
Yeah, those rings, you know, strangling birds and sea life. And we were at the beach just last week. We were down at Rodeo Beach. Do you remember that, Kai?
Yeah, we saw tons of plastic.
And what did we do?
Well, me and my mom helped pick up part of the plastic around the entrance and the exit of the beach, and it felt really helpful.
Yeah, that's nice. And you know, we were sitting there also playing in the sand. I have so much fun playing in the sand. And how old? I'm not going to tell you how old I am. And don't you tell them how old I am either, Kai.
She's like, she's 48.
Don't say it. Actually, 49. Okay,
49.
You said it. Yeah. But I feel like a kid still when I'm at the beach and I'm playing, and it's really becoming a sadder and sadder thing because there's so much garbage, you know? And it's just like, could we all just chip in and start helping out on that level? And could we also start asking our shopping centers to stop selling small packaging in plastic? Do you have any ideas about that, Kai?
No, I don't.
We got to think big here, don't we?
Yes.
Yeah, we do. Well, we got a lot to think about. And I think today we're just going to talk about some of the things that are happening. God, there's so much to talk about. Where do you even start? Politically, socially, environmentally? Oh, I was reading a book called Betrayal of the American Dream, and I don't remember the author's name. I'll have to get back to that. But Betrayal of the American Dream. And this book, wow, it wakes you up because it really helps share this perspective and information about what has happened specifically in these last 30 years. And I've talked about this before, and I'm going to talk about it again. It's this idea that we are living in the Reagan era. And a lot of kids, Kai, do you know who Reagan was?
Yeah, my mom has told me about him. Okay. And he was a bad person, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, I've always kind of thought that he was a horrific person, right? Federal criminal, what this guy did with his policies. They actually mirror Trump's policies today, environmentally, labor, economically. He opened the floodgates for the very, very wealthy, for the corporations, and pushed down labor by eliminating, PATCO, for example, the biggest labor movement in the 1981. My father was involved. That's probably why I'm a little bit more tied to it. When he fired a whole bunch of strikers. It was the 1981 union strike of the air traffic controllers. But, you know, I've been kind of pushing this story for a long time, even with my own kids, of like, Reagan was horrible. Oh, my God, terrible. And, you know, look what he's done. Look what his policies have done to the planet. We were on a good track under Jimmy Carter. You know, and then we're kind of revisiting all of this again with Trump. And it's like, oh, really? Right when the environmental movement starts getting active, we understand we're in the throes of climate change, you know, ocean acidification. And here we are again facing an administration, a federal administration, doing the exact same thing. But you know what? I just had a little bit of an awakening this morning. Do you want to hear what I had to think about this morning, Kai?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Because for how many years have you heard me talk bad about Reagan?
Ever since I remember.
Okay. I do. So I'm going to come clean with this little epiphany I had this morning. Do you want to hear it?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, good. I had this thought of, you know, so my grandfather, who was like your great-grandfather, who was this really good guy. He had fought in World War II. He never went to college, but he was brilliant. He was actually a self-made engineer. He created his own planes. Literally, in his garage, he designed airplanes, built them, and then flew them. Can you imagine that? And you know, I loved my grandfather. We all worshipped my grandfather. My grandfather could do no wrong, and he loved Reagan. So you can imagine what was going on in my household. Here's my father standing up against Reagan in a labor union bust. And then my grandfather is saying, no, Reagan's going to save our country. You know, he's going to make us heroes again, because we were kind of falling apart at that point in time. Energy was bad. Long car lines for gasoline. Economy was, I mean, it was just a bit of a mess. Carter was really trying hard to get us back on track. So here comes Reagan, the big hero. But this little epiphany I had this morning was that I don't think Reagan knew what he was doing was a bad thing. You know, and I think this is one of those moments where we have to step back and think, wow, this is what being human is all about. Kai, have you ever thought you were like really, really right and then discovered that maybe you weren't?
Well, yeah, I've had that same thing a lot.
I mean, I know I can say this. There have been times where I think I am just right. That is, you know, I'm right. Listen to me. I'm right. And then later I discover that I'm wrong, and then I feel really bad about it. And I'm wondering if this might be the case with Reagan too, you know, because at that time he thought he was right. He was trying to fix things. And how could you even believe something as massive as global climate change, melting polar ice caps, ocean acidification could be caused by your policies? I mean, was he out to kill us all? I don't know. And I wonder if he was looking at the world through rose-colored glasses, thinking that everybody's good, and even those top dogs who are making all the money are actually going to do the whole trickle-down thing, right? I mean, what if you really think that? I mean, what if you start giving all these people like the power, thinking that they're going to help, you know, the world. But then 30 years later, you find out that no, they're keeping it for themselves. So just wanted to remind you that you're listening to Penguin Radio 102.3 FM or radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh. I'm here with my son, Kai. And I just want to tell you that he pointed out that I was supposed to tag this radio station. Okay, he is my right hand. I cannot do anything without this kid.
Like an hour ago, you said I'm your left hand.
Okay, you're both my hands. It's amazing when you got a really smart kid who kind of reminds you of what your purpose in life is and what your responsibility is. And I think that's what the generation of youth are telling us today. So on Sunday, I went to a phenomenal event with my older daughter. It's with the organization and 21 youth who are suing the United States government. Do you know why? Do you know why they're suing?
No, I don't know why.
They're suing the United States government because they're saying, government, United States government, you have not been on our side and you have not been watching out for our rights, our right to a healthy planet. I mean, is that cool or what? I mean, I think that's something to be commended for, because these kids are suing not only Donald Trump, but Scott Pruitt and probably everybody else there in the Republican administration right now to say, you're not on our side. So, you know, this kind of awakens us up to the reality of what we have to really be thinking about. We have to stop thinking about ourselves and our own little desires, even during this holiday season. I mean, you know, Kai, I know you really want all those really great gifts, but I wonder if there's another way of living life, and that is by, you know, turning our money into a way, pushing our money in a way, spending money in a way that actually benefits everybody, right? You know, there are all these organizations, there are all these kids, there are all these artists, all these people that are trying to do great things. Could we help them out this holiday season? You know, I mean, there are people who are also really struggling right now just to put food on the table or to pay rent. And we're actually going to talk about the rent issue in a minute. So a reminder, last Sunday, I was at an event in San Francisco hosted by Our Children's Trust. Google it. You'll find out more. Our Children's Trust. This organization, along with 21 youth, are suing the United States government. They just had a hearing on Monday to the appellate court, Ninth Circuit Court, and they'll be back on February 5th. So we're going to hopefully have them on air here pretty soon. I'm going to try to get them on air in the next couple of weeks to talk about what is it like to stand up to big government, because these kids are showing us the way. Could you do that, Kai? Could you stand up to big government?
Well, definitely not alone.
It makes it better when you have a team, yeah. Right? But there are a lot of people who really care about your world. You know that.
Yes.
Yeah, that's important, right? It'd be nice to go to the beach and not see plastic garbage. I'll tell you that for sure. We're going to take a short break and listen to some music here momentarily. This was Kai's pick for the day. And it is called, do you remember what it's called?
It is called, I do believe it is called Talk at Me.
And who is it by?
It is by, I don't know, Mom, here, would you like to?
Oh, it's by The Little Mystery. And they are going to be playing at the Wu Wei Tea House on this Saturday night. Check them out. Let's listen to some music.
Thank you.
listening to Little Mysteries. That song was called Talk at Me. And they'll be playing actually in Fairfax this Saturday night at the Wu Wei Tea Temple, which is right there on Sir Francis Drake. That's this upcoming Saturday. And you're listening to Take Back Radio here at Dominican University of California, 102.3 FM or radio.dominican.edu. I'm your host, Barbara McVeigh, and I've got a guest here with me, 11-year-old Kai. We're talking about the world and his future and future of the planet. We just got finished talking about the lawsuit in San Francisco. This on Monday, there were 21 kids facing court and suing the United States government, specifically President Donald Trump and a whole host of other elected officials, to say, hey, you guys are not doing enough to protect us, the future generation. And so Kai's been giving us some of his perspective about plastics and going to the beach and seeing garbage, which isn't so nice. And, you know, it's good to listen to kids, and they've got a lot to say, and it's really a good time for us grown-ups to take a step back and say, what are the priorities right now, right? So one of the things we were talking about also is the cost of driving. Okay. Has anyone been stuck in traffic lately? I'll tell you, it has been horrific, especially this holiday season. Kai, what do you think about traffic?
Well, when I used to get to school, because right now I'm homeschooled, but when I used to get to school, it always took long, and I was late a lot because of traffic.
I'm glad you're blaming that on traffic and not the person driving you to school. you always want to know who's on your team. Anyway, no, it's true. It's horrific. Well, I'll tell you, what did we do yesterday? We were riding along on what is like the coolest thing ever.
Oh, yeah. We were driving around town on my mom's electric bike. It's so fun. It's like, and even I can drive it because it doesn't go that fast. How fast does it go? Like 15?
We haven't tested it, Matt.
I think the person we bought it from told us like 15 or 20 maybe.
Yeah, and you would probably try to challenge that, I'm sure. I'm holding on. Okay, so who's driving? Am I driving?
No, I usually drive, unless it's in like big traffic areas, then my mom drives.
Yeah, so you can picture this, electric bike. My son, 11-year-old Kai, is driving the bike. I'm sitting in the back. Yeah, you just imagine that, okay? Helmets on, yes, we're safe. Going around town, and he's driving me around. Now, I kind of like it, actually. It's kind of fun. I get to look around and take in the scenery. And he's at the throttle, and we're going around. But what's really funny are the looks that we get.
Yeah, everybody's, like, staring at us. And that's, like, it's like these either two stares. Either, like one stare is like, whoa, that's so cool, I want one. Or, like, the other stare, which we, like, rarely get. But we still get it sometimes. It's like, that's kind of weird. But in, like, a good weird. Like, normally the mom or dad's driving, not the son.
Yeah, I get my fingers. Some people, like, shake their finger at me. It's usually the older ladies and say, what are you doing letting him drive? You're so irresponsible. But you're pretty responsible. I think you actually drive the bike better than I do.
Yes, that's true. Not to brag.
I know. It's really, actually, I have to be a little humbled by it all. But, you know, that makes you wonder why shouldn't it be fun? We're riding around on this electric bike, no carbon fuels, except when we do have to plug the bicycle in at home, because I think the whole system that we're on, when we even turn on the lights at home, right, that's all being driven by fossil fuels still. I think we're trying to convert it, and I'd love to get somebody in to talk about that on a better level, because I really don't know. But I do know that riding around on an electric bike, totally getting out of traffic, going on the side streets, it just adds this like feel good kind of place in your heart, because you know you're not contributing to the traffic jams and you're not contributing to the fossil fuel disaster that we're in right now. And it's just, Kai, why aren't more people on bikes I wonder.
I don't know. It's like my mom is trying to get people on like electric cars maybe, and maybe even like human powered bikes that like you just pedal normally. But I don't know. Nobody wants to.
And it's funny because you see all these really big cars, right, with one driver in it.
Yeah, yeah. A while ago, we saw this, like, giant truck, or my mom did, at a cafe. It was giant, like a, what was it, Mom? Navy?
Oh, it looked like it was military.
Military.
But I don't know if it was or not.
It was huge, and it's just, like, thinking about all that gas it's spurting out. Well, not, like, spurting out, but wasting.
It does make you wonder. And then what were we talking about on the way here? We were driving along the freeway, and we were saying, God, wouldn't it be cool if there was a train along this freeway?
Yeah, that trains and I don't know, just trains would be, like, amazing. Like electricity powered, that'd just be so cool.
So I was looking in the paper, the San Francisco Chronicle. I think this was Monday's paper. And, I think this is the front page. And I-580 express lanes take lead in revenue. So what's going on here, folks, is that some lanes, because of the traffic problem, are being converted into express lanes where you actually pay with your fast track little card that you use to, you know, cross the Golden Gate Bridge or other bridges in the Bay Area, too. And I actually got to use one of these express lanes going to visit my dear, dear parents up in, or not up, but over in Tracy, California. And while everybody was stuck in traffic, I was going, woohoo, I'm going the express lane. And I pulled out my little transformer thing that I use for the bridges here in town, here in the Bay Area. And, you know, click, click, I got charged for driving the express lane where there was no traffic. And I thought, wow, this is so cool. See ya, wouldn't want to be ya. We always say to the people that we're passing by, right? Because we're often in the carpool lanes. But this is the thing, okay? We're paying for the roads. We're not only paying through our tax dollars, now we're paying through our pocketbooks straight away. And I'm kind of thinking to myself, whoa, after I paid the bill, of course, why am I paying yet again? So now, okay, Kai, tell me, does this make sense? I mean, this is all about common sense. You have to buy a car, and a car costs, you know, a new one, at least $25,000. Is that a lot of money to you?
Yeah, I mean, like, that is a lot of money. My mom doesn't work for a lot of money. She can't get, well, maybe you can't get a good job. I don't know.
Get a good job that I can feel good about. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, she's working at a place called Monobowls. It's kind of like ice cream, but in bowls and stuff, and you put toppings on it, kind of. It's really cool, but she's getting paid not very, I mean, like, I don't know how to explain it.
$10 an hour, I'm going to say it. Now, that's not a problem with Monobowl, the cafe. That's really just a demonstration of the inequality of pay that is happening here in the Bay Area, right? So let's just, and this is on average level, you can really point to most of all the cashiers, all the cafe workers, dishwashers, nannies, you name it, $10 an hour is pretty much the going rate. Can you believe that? $10. I actually made $13 20 years ago when I was a full-time student working at a law firm in San Francisco. That was when I was paying $600 rent. Okay, so I was able to make ends meet. Now I'm making $10 an hour at a cafe and I pay $2,700 for rent. Okay, so how do you even start paying for gas? I mean, it's and I'm using this as an example of just how much the inequity has been created in our system, okay? A person making $10, $12, or even $15 an hour, just do the math. How can they possibly pay not only for rent, not only for food, but for a car, and now express lanes, right? Because if you're not in an express lane, then you're paying for gas for sitting in the traffic. What is going on here? Kai, does this seem reasonable to you?
No, not really.
No, it doesn't. So going back to the traffic here, I mean, who's making out here? That's what I want to know. Who is making out? I mean, why should my tax dollars, my hard-earned tax dollars, be paid on roads that are the fossil fuel companies paying for that? Are the auto manufacturers paying for that road? Are other people who are making the big bucks? The big bucks. So those are the car companies. Those are the fossil fuel companies. Probably anyone else in that industry. They're making out with my tax dollars while I have to pay for a car in order to get around. I have to pay for fuel, and it's not cheap anymore. You know that. And I'm still stuck in traffic. I'm just not getting it. I'm just not getting it. And, you know, you really have to have a car to get around anywhere. And if you go to an employer and you tell them, oh, I take the bus, you know, they're going to actually look at you as being irresponsible or, you know, what's wrong with this person that they don't have a car. There's something wrong with them. Is there something wrong with a person who doesn't have a car, Kai? What do you think?
Actually, no, it's the person. No, it's not. If they don't have a car, nothing's wrong with them. It's just that they're being more thoughtful to the planet.
Wow. How's that?
Well, like, the fumes of the gas is, like, making global warming.
That's right.
It's like, I mean, not all people. Some people have, like, electric cars, and that's, I mean, it's still bad to have a car, but still it's better than just a gasoline car. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, okay, so my first question is this, is why are we not encouraging our political leaders to take public transportation, right? Because if they were forced to take public transportation instead of drive their cars, you know, so fast that our public transportation system would be fixed instantly. I mean, how is it possible we can go to Europe and we can go to these other places and you don't even have to step into a car? I mean, this is serious. I actually had a friend who just returned from Sweden, and it was such a relief and a stress relief too, because, you know, how much stress is it to be in a car paying those high costs while you're driving around in mayhem instead of sitting on a bus, sitting on a train that's efficient. We got to add that to the formula and read a book. Do people still read books? Do you still read books, Kai?
Yeah, I read books.
Oh, good. Okay. Not just Twitters. Good. Okay. Well, you got to ask that big question now because, you know, Twittering or tweeting or whatever it's called is taking over. And I'm just wondering if people still read books and, you know, get a little bit deeper in life. So automobiles. Yeah. So electric bikes. I'm telling you, we're actually going to start a little electric bicycle club here in town in Marin County. That's going to happen in March. And we're going to actually meet up at Monoble, which is in Fairfax, because we want to demonstrate to our local businesses, especially the independent ones, how much we support those who are really trying to do good work, not just in, you know, selling as in traditional business, but also trying to take a stand for our planet. And one of the reasons I work at Monoble is it's not just because I'm getting paid the big bucks of $10 an hour, but it's I'm seeing and I'm trying to learn from this is the quality of having people in our community that embrace community. You know, and businesses can really, small businesses specifically, can really add that to a community. So I don't view myself as a person serving, you know, it's actually acai, it's an acai cafe. I don't view myself handing out dishes of acai to people. I actually look at it as a way of cultivating community and making community a tighter place. Learning about what's happening in town, what's going on. So that's that with the automobiles. I do believe California Youth Council, I think that's their name, is another nonprofit here in Marin County. So they are actually pushing for, and you were saying it, Kai, about electric cars. So what are your thoughts about electric cars?
I mean, like, I wish like everybody used electric cars because that would stop global warming, like, significantly. And, yeah. Hey, Mom, what are your thoughts about electric cars?
Uh-oh, we got the next host coming at Take Back. What do I think about host backs? Well, okay, you always know that I have an opinion about something. I'm going to say that I think we're barking up the wrong tree. I think we're creating another problem. Because this is it. And this is actually a really bigger one that I think that's escaping us that we're not even talking about. So when you're not even talking about it, that is the bigger problem. And that is, yes, electric cars as well as technology, because we're again becoming dependent on something that's not only expensive, but that, you know, you have to make a lot of. And with lithium and all these other natural resources being manufactured in order to create these devices that we have and these automobiles, I think we're having to talk about waste and mining for lithium. Oh my God. I mean, is anybody following this one? I mean, this is huge, right? Lithium is like the new gold, let's call it. And you have to mine it. It's like you have to dig into the mountains. You have to, wherever it's being found. And it's in the oceans. The oceans are now under threat. I mean, okay, forget about ocean acidification and pollution and overfishing and all this other horrific stuff. But now we're talking about mining, deep sea mining. Can we please leave the oceans alone? So my point is this, is could we restructure our landscape to implement public transportation, right? Trains, buses, and, you know, more shared cars, perhaps. That'd be kind of cool. And bicycles. What do you think of that, Kai?
Yeah.
Definitely electric bikes.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I lived in China in the year 1994 to 95. It was that academic year. I was a teacher at Nanjing University. And when I got there, oh my gosh. Okay, so imagine this. My first day arriving in China, I spoke a little bit, but not very much, not enough to really carry on conversation or even ask the right questions. But I noticed straight away how many people were in China. I mean, so I'm standing on a street corner and I'm trying to cross the street. You would think that'd be kind of simple, right? You just wait for a traffic light or something like that, right? Right?
Totally. Uh-huh, totally.
Totally. Okay. Well, imagine this. Imagine a sea, a throng of, I mean, as far as the eye can see, people on bicycles, like a river. You got that in your head?
Yep. A river of bicycles.
A river of bicycles with their little cute bells. Ding, 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 ding. And they're all riding down this boulevard. And there I am trying to be polite and crossing a street. What would you do?
Well, I would just sit there waiting.
That's exactly what I did. But I discovered something. Nobody was stopping for me, even though I think there was a crosswalk. I mean, there was just no way to cross the street. And I just stood there just patiently waiting for somebody to be kind or respectful or polite and stop and let me start crossing the street. And nobody did. I stood there, I'm not joking, for 30 minutes. Do you know what I ended up doing?
What?
I started to walk across the street.
You'd probably get run over, wouldn't you?
Well, that's what I thought too. But do you know what happened? People made room for me. It was like the you know, the what is it? The river parting. I mean, it was amazing. It was like walking across a river and everything just started to flow around you.
It's like a rock in a shallow river. Like all the water goes around the rock.
Exactly.
Doesn't really go over unless it's too deep.
I was a rock crossing a street. That's exactly right. And you know, all these bells were ringing and nobody hit me. I mean, it was amazing. And I got to the other side of the street and I thought, wow, that was kind of cool. So that was China in 1994. That same year, they were actually digging up the street halfway through that year. They started to dig up that main boulevard in order to put transportation, underground transportation. And it was the big change in China. I mean, that was the year of major, major change. And I got to see that. And God, it was such a privilege to be able to see that, because I got to see the old China. And I got to see how it started to convert into what's now the newer China, the modern China. And they were so eager to follow us, the United States. And I remember some of my students, their big dream, you know what their big dream was, Kai?
What?
To own a car. They saw us and they said, we want cars too, just like you have, you know. And then look at us. We're going back to the bicycle today, because now those rivers of bicycles no longer exist in China. And you think, oh my God, they had it right. They had it right. They weren't falling victim or being party to this disaster that we're creating today. Now, they had other problems. I'm not going to, you know, not share that. There were some major environmental problems that they were experiencing too, and they still are. But, you know, they, at that time, we were looking down at them for having bicycles while they were looking up to us for having automobiles. And that was their big dream. And now we say, oh my God, we're stuck in an automobile trap. What do we do? Well, with that, let's take a little bit of a break and listen to some music. We're going to listen to Steve Wolf. He is a Fairfax, I'm going to call him an icon. Every Saturday morning, you can find him and Steve Holcomb at the Roastery in Fairfax from 6 a.m. I kid you not, they're there at the crack of dawn before the sun even comes up. And their music really inspired me, continues to inspire me. And they were actually on our show talking about global climate change and what inspires them and why they write their music. And I think we're going to listen to some of that right now. Okay, we're going to play Life Song. Life Song by Steve Wolf and Mason Holcomb. Here we go.
Messenger of the light, I am the dawn that
Tito is the name of the group. More Than Connected is the CD. And I think that is one of my favorite songs, called Life Song. You can catch Steve and Mason at the Roastery in Fairfax every Saturday morning. They play up until sometimes noon or 2 o'clock, and really their music is just the anecdote for life for this country. I'm going to really say it because that's what I do believe. It's just really beautiful. We are lucky to have them. And we were talking earlier, Kai is joining me, 11-year-old Kai is joining me for this show today here at Take Back. The universe loves to laugh, 102.3 FM or radio.dominican.edu. And we're talking about life. We're talking about automobiles and electric bikes, future of our planet, and we were also just talking about the living wage, which is a kind of a big issue right now given the state of economics, one of which really reflects the trickle-down economics that Reagan implemented 30 years ago that we're really feeling today, because we're seeing that trickle-down isn't really trickling, like how Rachel Maddow says it, where's the trickle? It's not happening. And really, with the recent economic package that's happening in the government right now, federal government, it's really not favoring the people making $10 an hour, like I am. I work at a little cafe. And why do I do that? I want to understand what it's like for people who are living this kind of wage. How do they survive? And I'm going to tell you, you can't survive. It's a form of slavery for many, many people in this county, Marin County specifically, because this you know, housing crisis that we've got, and really the pay does not reflect equality on any level at all. It's not I'm not going to say equality. I'm going to say just it's a social justice issue. And most of the apartments here in Marin County, I mean, aside from the housing, housing is just outrageously expensive. But the apartments, two-bedroom apartments, go for $2,700. I mean, that's kind of the general rate for an apartment building, even in the canal area, which tends to be, you know, you would think less money. But no, it's $2,700. Let's just round it off and say $2,500. Can you imagine paying that? So how is it possible that people who are making $10, $12 an hour can afford to rent an apartment here? Okay, well, if they're not renting an apartment here, that means they have to have an automobile to get from wherever they are to here. And we were just talking about, you know, how is it possible that you can pay for a car, pay for gas, pay your taxes, go to the roads? I mean, how is that fair? Does that sound fair, Kai?
No, it doesn't.
So one of the things, instead of complaining, which is always fun to do, is it fun to complain?
Sometimes.
Well, I know you complain about your sister a lot.
Yep, I really dislike her.
Oh, okay, she's a good sister. Typical brother-sister stuff. They do love each other. I'm going to believe that. But
Not really.
Yeah. So
just for everybody out there who is listening to this, I really don't like Maya Emilio.
Oh, stop it. Okay, I got to talk to them about that later today. But back to the big problems, the freeways and the apartment buildings. Okay, so the apartment buildings we just established, $2,500 a month. So who's out there making some solutions? San Francisco is doing this really, really cool thing. And again, this is coming from a newspaper. Remember those old things here? Can you hear it? That is a newspaper. Can you hear the pages? Yeah, they still exist. Really, they do. And I found this one at the cafe at 6 o'clock this morning. So I always go to my local cafe at 6 o'clock because that's where people talk. People still talk. Like, you know, I mean, I'm talking like face-to-face talk. you know, they don't look at their computers. They actually have these conversations, and we're always asking each day, is Trump still in power? So what San Francisco is doing, this is so cool, and this is so needed here right in Marin County, and that is regulations are opening up to allow San Francisco property owners to convert common spaces into dwelling units, right? So you can convert anything from a garage, a basement, to old boiler rooms into actual legitimate spaces to rent to people, because people need a place to live. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my gosh, could you imagine that happening here in Marin County, where we've got these big houses where rooms aren't even used? You know, I've seen a lot of them. Could you imagine what that would mean to some family or single mothers with kids here in Marin County who are struggling with that $10-$12 an hour rate? And that goes for house cleaners too. If you got a house cleaner, that's probably what you're paying. You know, this is really time to say, gosh, really, is that fair? And really open up not just our hearts, but our homes to people who could really benefit from more housing opportunities that are affordable. I'm not going to use that word affordable. That's been overused. I'm going to say what is fair and just, because really it does come down to a social justice issue. So this is what we have in Marin County. I have this friend, dear friend. She's done a lot for the community. Her husband has too, a lot of things, you know, and they're in a situation where they've had, you know, incredible success in business and so forth. And they have a beautiful, beautiful house, as well as this in-law unit, which they had some friends who, you know, weren't making a lot of money, but, you know, they were doing good things with their life. And they said, you know, well, let's rent this place out to them. We know them, we trust them, but we're not going to charge them the full rate of what we could get in this community, which was a pretty high level income area. I'm not going to say specifically where here in Marin County, but, you know, normal person could barely drive down the streets. But it's, you know, a place where, you know, you probably wouldn't be able to afford, certainly if you make $10 or $12 an hour. Well, so they rented this place to their friends, a great gesture, for like a quarter of the price that they could probably really get. I think that place would go for $7,000 a month, a little one or two bedroom little in-law unit, right? Well, guess what happened? You want to hear what happened, Kai?
I'm sorry, I wasn't listening. What did you say?
He's over here singing away. So I was just talking about how these people were renting this little one or two bedroom in-law unit that they could do for, you know, rent out for $7,000, but they were renting it out for like $1,500 or something like that to their friends. Well, guess what happened? The IRS came after them. The IRS said, if you have to rent out your own private property at market rate. And if you don't, you get penalized. I swear this is true. I got this from the horse's mouth, so to speak. They actually told me this very, very story. So here is this nice couple, this beautiful home, renting their in-law unit out to some friends who don't make a lot of money, but, you know, are good people, and they're raising a daughter. And guess what happens? My friends who were renting out the place got penalized. They got penalized because they weren't renting it out for the full value that they could in that community. I swear this happened. So even if it's your own property, you don't get to make up the rules. You have to go by what somebody says is the market cost in that area, right? That does not seem right to me. Actually, that sounds horrendous. So my dear friends, this is how good they are. They ended up paying themselves, right? The difference. They paid the difference and got dinged on their taxes for that. That's wrong. That is so wrong. So, so wrong. So I love this idea of what San Francisco is doing. I mean, if you've got extra space in your house, you've got extra rooms, you've got a garage or whatever, you can convert that space, if you are in San Francisco, and I think they're still working out the details, to rent that out. Could you imagine what that would do to Marin County? That would open up the floodgates, I think, I would hope, for more places for people to live here in Marin County and bring down the overall cost. So, you know, I'm in an apartment building And most of the people who live in this apartment building, they're house cleaners. You know, a lot of people are living together, like, you know, sometimes six people in a two-bedroom apartment just to make ends meet. Kai, can you imagine six people living in a two-bedroom apartment?
Well, that's kind of what we're doing right now.
That is what we're doing. Can you imagine that? And we're doing it, and it's okay. But and I'm really able to experience what that's like for people, and it's not easy. And sometimes it's more than six people. You know, we got a lot of kids in the mix. But the point here is that here are these apartment buildings, and the one that I am in actually owns a whole bunch of apartment buildings. And so I was looking up the name of the company, which I'm not going to say on air right now, but I might later. And I had to ask, who's making all this money? Who is making all this money? And then I discover that that they not only own like 30 other apartment buildings, but they have these plush, sophisticated, elite, whatever you want to call it, offices in San Francisco to talk about all these apartment buildings that they have. And the CEO is making out with so much money. And I want to ask, how is it possible that he gets away with making so much money when these people, he is living off the backs of the most vulnerable people in this county? And how is that possible? How have we allowed that to happen? The richest people today driving around in the fanciest cars are making bucks off the most vulnerable people, making 10, 12 bucks an hour. Now, you know, I'm thinking grapes of wrath here. I'm thinking lots of different kinds of wrath, but I'm thinking grapes of wrath because that really, it takes you back to that book and that story of how people could value either ego or big money rather than thinking about what is right. What is right? Jimmy Carter called it out in the late 1970s, you know. Do you remember who Jimmy Carter is?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Who is he?
He's somebody who, I think he was president before Ronald Reagan, is that right?
Wow, you've been listening to me.
Yeah. No, actually, no, I haven't ever listened to your mom.
Okay, yes, President Jimmy Carter.
He helped out the planet a lot and all the people by putting solar panels everywhere and stuff.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Thank you. Oh, he does listen to me just when you think they don't. But yeah, so Jimmy Carter put solar panels on the rooftop of the White House and really pushed for solar and wind energy. And actually, if you really stop to think about any president who's had the most impact on our country, given our solar and wind energy initiatives today, you got to point your finger back to that president and say, thank you, President Jimmy Carter. Thank you. And Jimmy Carter was calling it out in the late 1970s. He was saying, you know, people, something's happening here in our country. We are beginning to value people for how much they have instead of what it is that they do for others. There was a major pivotal cultural switch that was happening. And boy, was he right. And it's still happening. You know, the people who have the most money today, we look up to them. Why is that? Why is that, Kai? Why do you think? Do you have any ideas about that?
No.
Yeah, well, neither do I, actually, because I'm trying to understand that, because I'm not sure how we've gotten away with that as a society. Because what has happened to the people who give the most? Really? The people who, you know, it may not even come with money. It might actually come with time or with spirit or with creativity. And could we start pointing our fingers to them and say, thank you. Thank you so much. And, you know, Jimmy Carter, to me, I mean, he's the Gandhi in this country because that's what he has done his entire life, is he has given. Whether it's with Habitat for Humanity or solar panels on his farm. Yes. Don't talk peanuts. Talk solar panels. But so we've covered a lot of subjects today's show. We've talked about traffic and fossil fuels. We've talked about apartments and social justice issues, about how to figure out this housing crisis we've got here in Marin County. And the good news is we've got solutions, right, Kai?
Yep, we do.
Do you have any other thoughts about the planet, Kai?
Since earlier, like just a second ago, we were talking about money and rich people and not so rich people. I was just thinking in my head, like, it's weird. I've seen more poor people, or I wouldn't use the term poor, but like my mom, like not as much money as like a lot of people who have money. Okay, I'm just gonna get to the subject. So the rich people often aren't as caring and thoughtful and giving as lower money people, like poor people. So just to throw that out there.
Yeah, thanks for making that point, poor, because we think poor people, yeah, then we've got to think of another name for that, huh?
Yeah.
Can we think about that? Yeah. Poor. It's people who just lack money.
Yeah.
Which is not just necessarily a bad thing in this world today. I wonder if creativity should be the new currency of how creative you are.
Yeah.
And resourceful.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be cool. Okay. We're going to end our show today with a song. Kai, I just really want to say what a great guest you've been on Take Back today. Can we have you back sometime?
Yeah, sure. I'll come back sometime.
I would love that. And it's great to be with you all today. We're, it's sad to say that we got to go, though. It's the end of our show here at Take Back. The Universe Loves to Laugh. Here at Dominican University of California, 102.3 FM or radio.dominican.edu. We hope to have you listen in next week. We'll have more topics to talk about, and we hope to start listening to you as well. We want to hear what your thoughts are in this world today. We got a lot to talk about. Well, it's time to go, and that's the name of this song by Steve Wolf. We'll see you next week, folks.
Goodbye.
Everyone wake up now, it's time to go. Everyone wake up now, it's time to go. The ship's sailing.